Okay, are we good? I'm good if you're good. Are we good? All right. You know, on these rainy days, you never know what's quite going to happen, so we'll just flow with it. So today we are continuing in our ongoing sermon series, the gifts that keep on giving, and today we're talking about the gift of grace. Now, what does grace look like when it's easy? You know, I think we can all probably think of people in our lives who make it easy for us to love them, right? People like family, friends, and coworkers who are kind, who are gentle, who are generous. It's easy to show grace to those sorts of people, isn't it? It's easy to give grace to people who absolutely deserve it. But what about when it's hard? What about when it's really, really hard and grace isn't so easy to give? When people talk behind your back, slander your name, and create chaos and confusion in your life, grace is the last thing we want to show them, right? If we're being honest, what we want to give them is just a little taste of their own medicine. We want them to hurt just like they've hurt us. But is that right? Is it healthy? Is that what God truly desires from us? Today we're going to be talking about the gift of outrageous grace and how we, as recipients of God's grace, are called to share that amazing gift with others, even when it's hard, and especially when it's undeserved. As we get started this morning, would you join me in a word of prayer? God, we thank you for the witness of Scripture and how it leads us closer to you. As we seek your truth this morning, open our hearts and our minds to receive what you have to share with us, and help us in turn to share it with others. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. Our scripture this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, beginning in verse 21. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn there now with me, or if not, we'll have it on the screen momentarily. But we will begin in Matthew, chapter 5, beginning in verse 21. Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'You shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment.' But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, 'Raca,' which, pause, means basically saying you're worthless to somebody, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, 'You fool,' will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift." Jesus goes on to say, "Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, sometimes it's natural to wonder whether Jesus gets us, right? I mean, we live in a world that is so incredibly different than the world he walked into some 2,000 years ago. But in spite of all of those amazing, huge differences that we could pop off one by one this morning, it seems that the more things change, the more they really just stay the same. Because just as we live in a world full of division, mistrust, and broken relationships, that's the same kind of world that we see Jesus walking into here in the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus' world was full of division, hatred, and contempt. Matthew writes about Romans insulting Jews, Jews insulting and attacking each other, and people betraying their dear friends and family. Just like our world, Jesus' world was full of angry people who had all sorts of reasons to be angry. Some were angry about being occupied by the Romans. Some were angry about having to share life and space with people of different races, ethnicities, and religions. And some were simply angry because they were hungry and alone. Now, the trouble with this kind of anger is that it never resolves well, does it? If anger is all that we're experiencing, if it's all that we're allowing ourselves to know deep down in our bones, then y'all, it's going to work itself out in all kinds of unhealthy ways. Think about it. The employee whose boss just chewed them out in the back comes out front and ends up chewing out their customer. Then the customer goes home and she chews out her kids, and then the kids go to school and they chew out their teachers. Anger is like a wildfire whose flames jump in every direction, and you never know who or what it's going to burn down next. Now, as Jesus met and ministered to the people of Israel, he saw and felt their anger each and every day, and at times he even understood it. But he never once believed that anger alone would allow them to live out their calling and their purpose as God's people. Now think back towards the very beginning of the Old Testament, and you'll see that Israel was supposed to be the light of the world, right? But this anger was messing up their mission. So what could Jesus do to diffuse it? How could he redeem and redirect their emotions in a healthy, positive way? Well, in this section of Scripture from the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus shows how living faithfully leads us away from anger and closer to love. Now, that's not a shallow, romantic, feel-good kind of love that we are so off to think about when we hear that word, but rather, it's a kind of love that's willing to take outrageous risk for others. A selfless, sacrificial kind of love. The kind of love that Jesus himself has for you and for me. Now, just as he's done throughout this famous sermon already, here in chapter 5, Jesus is telling people that this new way of life that he's calling them to, he's being upfront. He's telling them that it's not going to make a lot of sense to the rest of the world. But then again, our world only understands an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, right? Our world only understands anger, retribution, and revenge. But friends, Jesus hasn't come to redirect our anger onto other people. He's come to take it all away. And in its place, he wants an outrageous and abundant grace to take root in our lives. But before that grace, that gift can thrive, we've got to let go of our anger and seek reconciliation with those that we're angry against. You know, for a lot of us, we believe that we can think anything we want to think about other people so long as we're not actively harming them in some kind of direct, physical, or violent way. But listen to what Jesus says here in verse 21. Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'You shall not murder,' and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment." Friends, Jesus doesn't raise the threshold for God's judgment here. He lowers it so, so incredibly low. And in doing so, he shows us where the real problem exists. It doesn't exist in the murder, although that is very problematic and bad in and of itself. But rather, the real problem exists in the anger that can lead to murder, conflict, and broken relationships. Put another way, consider what this great philosopher once said. Fear is the path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering. No, please, that's a pity laugh. See, what Jesus first taught, and what fictional characters like Yoda have tried to express in their own unique way over the last 2,000 years, is this simple and oh-so-important truth. This truth that says that anger is a destructive seed that, if allowed to grow and bear fruit, leads us to suffer in unspeakable ways. That's why Jesus is bringing judgment on the very thought of anger, hatred, and wickedness against others. Because Jesus knows that what we think and feel on the inside quickly becomes who we are on the outside. And when that anger comes alive on the outside, people suffer. And you know, we're not immune from that suffering and pain. Because as Jesus points out, the most destructive grudges we hold are often against people that we love or at least used to love. Because here in Matthew 5, Jesus isn't offering up this vague generality about disagreements with people or people you never met before. He is getting oh so specific in calling them our brothers and our sisters. He's talking about those broken relationships that we experience with family, friends, neighbors, and church family. He's talking about the anger, the disappointment, and the betrayal that we feel deep down in our bones. And quite frankly, we don't like feeling these things, do we? We don't like having meaningful relationships broken by things that we've said or done or by things that others have said or done to us. Because when we go from giving grace to people that we love and trust to holding bitter grudges against them, absolutely everything in our lives just seems to go haywire, doesn't it? We lose focus. We grow anxious and insecure. And deep down, I think we all feel a little less human. And that's precisely the point, Jesus says. Anger makes us feel less than human because we weren't made to feel, let alone hold on to these destructive grudges against people we love, people we know, people who are so close to our very being. Anger is a flame that can quickly become a fire. And when it's done with us, all that's left is a smoldering pile of ashes. Hard to be salt and light then, isn't it? That's why Jesus speaks at length about this issue here. And why he tells us to let go of our anger and seek reconciliation before going to God in worship. Because Jesus knows that if we're coming before him with anger in our hearts, we won't be focused on him. And we certainly won't be ready to receive what he stands to give us. Listen again to verses 23 and 24. Jesus says, "Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift." Jesus tells us to seek reconciliation instead of judgment. He tells us to let go of our anger and extend outrageous grace. But can we actually do what he says? That's a question we often ask ourselves when we read passages like these, where Jesus tells us to do things that are hard, difficult, and really, really uncomfortable. I mean, sure, it sounds really nice to seek reconciliation with the people that you're angry with, but what Jesus tells us here in Matthew 5 is so much easier said than done. But does that mean it's not worth doing? Absolutely not. Jesus came to show us a new and better way to live. And that new and better way involves doing some hard and difficult things that will eventually get us to a new and better place. A place where outrageous grace, the grace of God himself, is given and received so freely by all. So how do we do it then? How do we let go of our bitterness and our anger and seek a better way with the people that we may be holding grudges against? Well, look to Jesus and see how he chose grace over anger with us. Now, it's no surprise if you've been in this world for more than 5 minutes to realize that we are a sinful, broken people living in a sinful and broken world. But it wasn't supposed to be like this, right? In the beginning, God intended for us to have a blessed fellowship with him forever. But long ago, our ancestors chose to turn against him. And generation after generation has been turning against him ever since. Did you ever stop to think that God has every right to be angry with us? He has every right to turn a blind eye to our pain and our suffering. He has every right to stay far, far away while we destroy this world and ourselves and everything else in it. That's what anger does, doesn't it? It causes us to care less about the people that we used to love. It seeks retribution rather than reconciliation. Thankfully, though, the message we preach week after week in services like this is that God chose to show us grace rather than anger. And through Jesus Christ, we see that grace and reconciliation up close and personal. Because instead of coming to condemn the world, Jesus Christ came to save it. Instead of calling us to find him, he came to find us. Instead of coming to judge us, he came to love us and to embrace us. And instead of hating those who hated him, Jesus loved them and forgave them, even as they cheered on his death from the cross. And in doing so, Jesus took our sins and gave us his grace so that we might share it with others through the ministry of reconciliation. You know, that's one of the greatest responsibilities that we have as Christians, isn't it? Sharing with others what we ourselves have received from Christ. And y'all, what he's given us isn't anger and hostility. He hasn't given us one more grudge to hold. Jesus has given us an outrageous grace to share with others, especially those who don't deserve it. The Apostle Paul speaks about this ministry of reconciliation over in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 through 21, where the Bible says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Are you a new creation? Has Jesus made a difference in your life? If so, why are you holding on to something old? Why not just let it go and embrace what's new? That's the invitation we're presented with every day. As we seek to live out our calling as Christ ambassadors to this world. And let's face it, that's hard to do, especially when that ministry and that calling forces you to make peace with and reconcile with people that, quite frankly, you may not want to reconcile with. Sadly, many of us would choose to simply hold on to our anger and grudges than make peace with the people that we may be on the outs with. I get that. And Jesus gets it too. But what we need to remember is that Jesus loves the people that we hate. And he wants us to extend his grace to them, just like he extended his grace to us. Because that, friends, is how we really experience the healing and wholeness that's found in Christ alone. By participating in the ministry of reconciliation and extending grace to the people in our lives who absolutely may not deserve it. By seeing broken relationships restored and grace thriving where once there had been only anger and hostility. Now, if you've extended that kind of grace before, you know what it feels like to have such a heavy weight lifted off of your shoulders. You know what it's like to experience the peace which comes after the anger has lifted and all that fog has cleared. And it's not just you. The person you've reconciled with feels those things too. And what an absolute immeasurable blessing that is. Now, as we begin to wrap things up, maybe you're here today and the anger you're feeling towards someone is weighing you down. Maybe your focus is off and your spirit's a little unsettled. Well, today's a good day to recognize which relationships in your life may be broken and in need of reconciliation. And it's also a good day to start doing something about it. After all, Jesus' message here in today's scripture is as crystal clear as it can ever be. His message is, don't wait. Don't wait to let go of grudges. Don't wait to make peace. Don't wait to extend outrageous grace.